This is the Big K Morning Show, and we welcome our Odyssey Sports Director, Jeff Hathorn, getting to be the busiest time of the year. Jeff, good morning.
Good morning, Larry. Yeah. I mean, I think I did almost all the sports. If the Penguins would have done something yesterday between Pitt Steelers and Pirates, I was missing out. It was like that. I was that short of fulfilling the bet.
I know you had it all going and a busy, busy time. So let's start with the Steelers. Yesterday, the NFL's mandatory roster cuts had to be done by 4, and now there are 53.
Nothing really surprising with the cuts for the Steelers. Quez Watkins might be the most recognizable name. He was with Philly for a few years. But, you know, they did keep, again, all of their draft picks, one due to injury, but all of them stayed on the roster. They have a deep defensive line group, and they kept a number of linebackers as well, so middle linebackers as well. So this is they'll probably go searching for a player or two. Then, of course, we'll find out about practice squads here in the next couple of days. But it's pretty much the roster we thought it would be. And now we're just days away from game week.
Yeah, finally, they'll have a chance to actually play. The starters stay in the games and the ones that matter most, because the preseason, you only get a little taste of that. And even at that, it's not what you'll actually see in a game day situation. That said, a whole new list of quarterbacks in the room from last year. And we knew Russell Wilson and Justin Fields would be on the list. Who is Kyle Allen?
Kyle Allen was with Buffalo last year. He was the backup quarterback to Josh Allen, because you had to be named Allen to be a quarterback with the Bills. You know, he's a guy who's been around the league a few years. He has some confidence. You saw it in the preseason game. He can make some throws. And, I mean, you never say never. Last year, the Steelers started 3 different quarterbacks, so it's good to have someone with a little experience in that 3 spot behind Wilson and Fields. He's obviously not a guy that's been able to get to the starter level, but he's a nice backup for a couple of games if you need him.
Couple of notes. There is a new punter, and he's an Ohio State guy, which I'm sure you approve of.
Yeah, you know what it is? And Presley Harvin, I mean, God bless him, he tried. But it's like going from having an amateur to a pro. And this, I mean, Cameron Johnston, he's a professional punter. He's done it. He knows angles. He's just very good at his job. You will see an improvement in that area. Hopefully, he's not on the field a lot. But when he is, he does his job very well, and he should help with some special teams, be able to pin some teams back. And, you know, in these tight games, one punt pinning a team back inside the 10 could make all the difference in the world.
What was your takeaway from the new kickoff rules in the NFL?
I still don't know. It's kind of goofy, gimmicky. I get that they want to have something there instead of just giving teams the ball at the 25 or 30 or whatever they would decide. But we're borderlining on this. Like, they're trying so hard, like they did with the Pro Bowl for years. Like, they tried so hard to make it interesting, and they finally just scrapped it. I mean, we'll see. If there are some exciting plays that result from it, then I think you'll see some momentum gain. I think now people are still trying to figure it out and going, like, what in the world is this?
Well, there is a possibility that this will be a one and done this season, or maybe they change it in the next week. I doubt that's going to happen, but we'll see. Meanwhile, we got a weekend off, a bye week for the NFL, allowing college football to kick off. And just a note, of course, the Steelers will be on the road for the first 2 games, the first one in Atlanta, 1 o'clock kick a week from Sunday. And before we talk about college football, because it's a huge weekend, as you know, Jeff, a note about the Pirates. Disappointing again last night. Their pitching was atrocious, especially the relievers. However, this change of O'Neill Cruz, 6'7", tallest shortstop in Major League Baseball history, being booted to the outfield. Why?
Well, because of the boots that he had at shortstop, the errors that he had at shortstop, and they think he could use his range and his arm in center field. Aaron Judge, who's 6'8 with the Yankees, is having this amazing year. He's a center fielder for New York. So they think maybe his skill set will fit better in center field. They're going to give him a few days where he'll DH, and then, you know, he'll try it. So don't expect him out there when you're listening to the game here on KDKA today. Paul Skeens will not have him behind him, but at some point soon, he will be in center field just trying to take advantage of that athleticism and hope for fewer mistakes than we saw at shortstop.
By the way, Cruz was one of the bright spots last night in terms of hitting. That said, yeah. Skeens today and the Cubs, Pirates trying to get it going, and we've got you covered.
Hot enough
here
for you?
Yeah, hot enough for you. When we come back, Jeff Hathorn will preview the college football season. Here we go. College football is here. We continue our conversation with our Odyssey sports director, Jeff Hathorn, who also follows the Panthers very closely. So it's Kent State Saturday at noon at Acrisure Stadium. Let's start there because we also have Penn State and WVU in Morgantown at the same time. So what's the preview? A lot of people I know ask you, Jeff, how are the Panthers going to be after a disappointing 3-win season last year?
We all want to know. That's the kind of the reality. They have a brand new offense under Cade Bell that's going to be up tempo and fast. Think of the Panthers who played Tennessee recently. Think of that type of speed that Pitt is now going to play at, which is such a change from what we've seen, and nobody's really seen it. There's a battle at quarterback right now going on between Nate Yarnell and Eli Holstein, and they're trying to figure out who the quarterback is. We're just trying to figure out how this offense is going to look. And, you know, with Pat Narduzzi and Randy Bates, that the defense is going to be strong, although there's a number of new faces over there too.
Yeah, I believe 9 of the 11 starters on defense are new. So it's hard for even the coaches to say, and they'll admit it. They'll say, we really don't know exactly what we have. We like the things we see, but until we get in a game situation, it's hard to determine.
You know, and I think this schedule works out ideally. You know, Kent's rebuilding their program. So you get Kent State at home to work through some things, hopefully get a win. Then you have the first road game at Cincinnati, a team that's rebuilding as well. Road games are always tough, but it's a winnable type of game. And then you get West Virginia. So you get a couple of opportunities before the backyard brawl to kind of work that offense in. As you mentioned, the newcomers on defense, although a lot of those newcomers have at least played some snaps in college. So I really go into this game, and it's one of those times where a lot of times, like, listen, I understand how Pitt plays, and I do on defense, but I have no idea what this offense is going to be like.
It'll be fun, and I'm curious to see. And by the way, we have full coverage. Bill Hillgrove, we've got Pat Bostic, Scorin Doran, Pitt All-American, Cale Berger, and Jeff, always a part of our network broadcasts for the Pitt, also the Pitt Football Network, and tonight is Coach Narduzzi's first coaches show at 6 o'clock at the Indigo Hotel right there on Technology Drive at the base of Bates Street, just off of the campus of the University of Pittsburgh. All right, that said, it's Pitt and Kent State, then at noon, Puskar Stadium. The Penn State Nittany Lions bring the Big Ten to the 12, and they don't call it the backyard brawl, but how is it that West Virginia still gets to play Penn State and it's not on a schedule in the future for Pitt?
Great question, Larry. I'm sorry. I was texting Pat Narduzzi that you just played that on the air. I'm not exactly sure. Anytime there's regional rivalries, it's the best for the sport. I would love to see it, like all three of these teams play each other all the time. Unfortunately, you know, there is a disconnect between Pitt and Penn State right now. So their series is on hiatus. But this should be an awesome game. And West Virginia has a surprisingly good year. There was talk of firing the head coach, and all of a sudden, now he's got a contract extension. And for James Franklin, this is a monster year for him. The football playoffs have expanded. You know, Penn State's a place where they expect to compete for a national championship, and they have not done that over the last few years. This is a monster chance for him. They feel like they've got a really good quarterback. Penn State goes in favored in this game, and this is one of these games that, you know, James Franklin, and he's just struggled with Ohio State and Michigan, but they've got to have a big season in Happy Valley, and they do have a team that has picked in the top 10 in almost every poll.
And the one thing Steelers fans share from this is the fact that we've got Zach Frazier, the center from the Mountaineers last year, yeah, the rookie who's going to be the starter this year due to injury. Wow.
It's funny you say that, because Frazier's from West Virginia, and Beanie Bishop, the slot corner, is. But Frazier was a couple of feet over from Pat Freiermuth the other day, and Freiermuth looks over to me loud enough that he could hear it and says, "Go Penn State! Go Penn State!"
Well, it's going to be a big weekend for college football. Looking forward to it and the coverage. Jeff, here we go. Thanks for the time this morning. Always appreciate you, brother.
Thanks, Larry.
Jeff Hathorn, our Odyssey Sports Director, the hardest working man in sports, joining us. And every Wednesday, we check in with the president and the CEO of the Urban League of Greater Pittsburgh, Carlos T. Carter. Carlos, good morning.
Good morning. I'm feeling some black joy this morning.
I'll tell you what, this summer has just flown by, and it's not gone yet. It certainly doesn't feel like it. So stay cool as we get ready for the Labor Day weekend. So one of the things that you asked that we talk about today, I don't think a lot of people will be aware of. There's a movement. It's called the Black Joy Movement. What is it?
Well, I say Black Joy is nothing new, so I think you kind of see it in a movement with Kamala, right? You look at the Democratic Convention. You look at when Michelle Obama was speaking. You saw some black folks moved to tears. I think, you know, Black Joy is a movement that's been led by, you know, local black artists, authors, activists, and others that declares black people's humanity will not be defined by trauma or oppression, but something else. There's a book called Black Joy by Tracy Michael, and she says, a joy that no white man or anyone can steal. There's some historical context to this. So black laughter would use a weapon against black people long before Trump wielded against Kamala, dismissing her as like laughing Kamala. So back in the day, slave owners would apply that black people were happy being enslaved or being second-class citizens. So to survive, many black people played along, flashing, you know, submissive smiles. But there was it was also used as a sense of defiance, as I think Kamala does in different ways. There was this guy, a former slave, who said, "Others have said I laugh loudly and often. This too is true. The man says I found that my joy is the most irritating to those who are righteously indignant, and my audacity to walk around like I'm free." So basically, it's a joy despite of what's going on. And I really saw the manifestation of this recently. So you remember, there was a young lady, 9 years old. She was actually related to me. Was killed by a bike a few weeks ago or so. And so I was watching a video online, and you know, people were mourning, but then they broke out in dance. That's black joy. So despite trauma and things going around, you find joy, a sense of hope that things will be better despite how things are hurting. It's the audacity to walk with your head up, right, when people think your head should be down. So it's something you can't really define, but you can feel it and you know it.
And how have you leveraged this in your life?
I believe, for me, you know, as a Christian, you know, I believe that, like, it's kind of been in my life that I find joy and count my blessings no matter what is going around, right? Like trying to find light even when there appears to be none. And so I think, because people say, "Carlos, you're always so happy." It doesn't mean things are perfect, but I learned to find that joy and be hopeful no matter what's going on.
Yeah, it is a powerful emotion, and laughter too. So how can this movement inspire grassroots efforts and community engagement?
I say learning to be grateful for the little things when things are difficult, still smiling and you know, hoping for a better tomorrow. I think right now a lot of people say, "Oh, this world's this, that." People always think a negative, but I think, like, really being courageous enough to find the light even when it seems like there isn't any, right? Even in the middle of protests, expressing joy in tragic circumstances, you know, find a reason to dance in a rain because you know the sun is coming out tomorrow. You know, I love this quote that I've heard before. It says, "You can live about 40 days without food, 3 days without water, 8 minutes without air, but not a second without hope." Black joy is choosing hope. And anybody of any color background can have that type of joy, right? It's choosing to be joyful. joyful and looking the positive no matter what's going on. It doesn't mean that you accept what's going on and you don't fight against justice, but you find joy in the process. Black joy.
ULPGH.org, the president and CEO of the Urban League of Greater Pittsburgh, Carlos T. Carter. Appreciate you this morning. Great message. Thank you. Find the joy.
Thank you.
How lucky can one guy? I love that song. Dean Martin, Rat Pack, Frank Sinatra. Some of that stuff still resonates. You've heard of Frank Sinatra, Aaron.
Absolutely. And every time you come on air and kind of do that beginning part, it's really spot on. Truly.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, you kill that.
That's about it. I got no other repertoire.
Well, you're also multilingual. Yeah. One line in every language.
Yeah, I had, it's funny, an embarrassing moment. I told you yesterday, for lunch, I decided I'm going to eat a little more healthy. You know, so I stopped at this little Japanese place. I thought I'm going to get some miso soup packed with vitamins. Yep. I don't even know if miso is Japanese, but it was on the menu, right?
Right.
Some other items. Some rice, maybe a protein, you know, a fish.
Yep.
And just little, not a lot. And I knew a couple words in Japanese, and I started, you know, gozaimasu, arigato. And the young lady looked at me and she said, I'm Chinese. I went, oh, I'm sorry. I was in a Japanese restaurant.
Right.
I said, do you speak Mandarin? And she said, yes. And then I went down that road. Sheshene.
You're like, well, let me pull out that line. I got you.
But here's what I do now. So everybody that has a smartphone can do the same thing. So you can go to a translator and you can just type in whatever you want to say to somebody, right? So
right.
I could say Chinese to English, a translator, right? Mandarin. So I enter, what do you want me to say? Give me something to say.
Say, stay cool in the hot weather.
There, I like that. Stay cool in the hot weather. I type it in and it shows not only... I can't read Chinese either.
Right. Yeah.
All right. Let me see. I got it typed in. And then you simply tap on it.
Wow. But you know what? Someone over the air understood that.
Yeah. And I'm hoping it's accurate.
Unless we get a voice message that's like,
stay cool in the hot weather. I love this app. Anybody can do this in any language. Yeah, same to you, buddy. Coming up, we're going to give you a chance to win a family pack of four tickets to the Pittsburgh Renaissance Festival in here in just a couple of minutes. But first, oh, I know what we should have. It's talk about traffic. From the P.J. Fitzpatrick Home Improvement Traffic Center, AAA traffic powered by Bowser Genesis of Monroeville. Here is Ellen Gamble.
Uh-huh. That I want to hear. I really want to hear that. That would make sense of things.
All right, let me get to work on it.
Yeah, a couple of... Talk about accidents. We have plenty of them, Larry. All right, one being cleared in North Point Breeze from Penn Avenue near Braddock Avenues, and then also crews on the scene of an accident West Carson Street between the Fort Pitt Bridge ramps and the West Station Square Drive intersection. Parkway West inbound backs between Carnegie and the top of Green Tree Hill, and the Parkway North is now getting some slowdowns for you between the Camp Horn Road interchange and Bellevue Westview, then down past Perrysville. You'll find the stop and go. Parkway East inbound lines up at the Wilkinsburg off-ramp before the Squirrel Hill tunnels. Our next AAA traffic on the fives at 8:55. I'm Ellen Gamble on 100.1 FM and AM 1020 KDKA.
All right, Ellen, I got it. AAA traffic with Ellen Gamble is so spot on. Here it is in Mandarin.
Ellen Gamble,
holy heck.
I love it. The Ellen Gamble part came through.
I'm in trouble now because, and by the way, this is available to anybody. It's free. So if you want to torture people.
Can you tell us the app one more time?
Oh, the app. No, I just searched. Just type in Google search, whatever language, and then translator, and it'll pop up. You just type it, then hit the button, And AAA traffic with Ellen Gamble is so spot on.
There you go. Ellen Gamble.
All right.
Oh, she sounds so friendly.
This AccuWeather forecast. Hot. 95 and 74 right now at Pittsburgh International. Stand by. I got your Renaissance tickets up next. Coming up right after the news at the top of this hour, we've got meteorologist Ray Pentland from KDK-TV, who made national news with something he's done since his daughter was in kindergarten, and now she's a senior at Seneca. Every first day, he did a little interview with her every year along the way. It's really a cool story, Aaron.
I've never seen anybody do such an amazing, like, I want to do that when I have kids. It's so cool.
To stick with it, you know, it's
right.
You think, okay, day one, everybody takes pictures of their daughter or son going to kindergarten or first grade.
But and an interview?
After a while, it's like, forget about it. But yeah. She also does some things with him on TV now, which is kind of cool. So we'll talk to Ray about that because he ended up on network television. He was on CBS The Morning Show yesterday. All right, I got something for you, Aaron. I used my Google Translator, Chinese Mandarin. Aaron is going to the Pirates game today in the blistering heat. Are you ready?
Wow. It's the say at the end. I feel like she was getting smart with me.
All right. We have a family pack of four tickets to the Pittsburgh Renaissance Festival, and you can be there. All you got to do is call 412-922-1020, and we'll hook you up. We'll make it caller number 7. And the Renaissance Festival is every weekend now through September. Pittsburgh Renaissance Festival. You can check it out online. It's really actually a lot of fun and see what they're doing. If you've never been, you've heard us play over, I don't know how many years, the trumpet thing, right?
Here they come.
Here they come.
Here they come.
All right, Aaron, please answer the phone in Mandarin. Also, next hour, we're going to check in with Christine Sorensen, Kitzburg, find out what's going on this weekend, and she'll stick around, be on with her husband, Marty. Marty's got the short show today because we've got Pirates baseball with Paul Skeens on the mound at PNC Park against the Chicago Cubs. From the P.J. Fitzpatrick Home Improvement Traffic Center, AAA traffic powered by Bowser Genesis of Monroeville. Let's see what Ellen Gamble sees. What do you see?
Well, lots of accidents here, Larry. Honestly, it's been one of those days. Accident being cleared North Point Breeze from Penn Avenue near Braddock Avenue. And crews on the scene, of course, with an accident West Carson Street between the Fort Pitt Bridge ramps and West Station Square Drive. We also have one just coming into us. This in Robinson Township, reports of an accident on Beach Drive and McCormick Road. So do watch out for the slowdowns that you'll find there. And we also have, of course, that this traffic, AAA traffic on the 5 is brought to you by LGKG Injury Lawyers. And let me just excuse me there. LGKG, your home team. Visit LGKG.com. Our next report is coming your way at 9:05.
You all right?
I give up. We'll be okay. I'm Ellen Gamble, 100.1 FM and AM 1020 KDKA.
All right, let us know if you need something, right? Meanwhile, we've got this blistering heat, 95 today. The real feel when you factor in the humidity, the dew points, right around 100. So take it easy. Don't get too crazy out there. Just relax, chill. Well, I mean that figuratively. 74 at the airport now.